The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Masechet Rosh Hashanah has been sponsored by Mr. Sawley and Cheryl Mizrahi. Hashem Aleihem Yihyu for the Hatzlacha of both of their families, for Be'ezat Hashem, health, happiness, Parnasa, continued success, and of course, much nachat and pleasure from their children. Yiratzon, in the zechut of their dedication to the Masechet Rosh Hashanah, they will be zoche for good judgment, they will be zoche for good beracha and mazal in all their endeavors. Amen.
Amen.
Daf Tet. Today's daf is being studied, Le'ainu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenechenu B'Gan Eden. Amen. Today we study the daf Le'ilu Nishmat Mifael Edmon Ezra Safra Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenechenu B'Gan Eden. Amen. Today being his seventh Yahrzeit, the great philanthropist of Klal Yisrael, Mr. Edmon Safra, that Be'ezat Hashem Limud should be Le'ilu Nishmato. And he should rest. Begin Eden Elyon. Amen. We begin today's daf on Daf Tet Amud Rishon. We're four lines from the top. The Gemara says, "Ud mosifin mihol ala kodesh minalan." This concept that we have to be mosif, we have to add from hol ala kodesh, that you extend the kedusha beyond the point which you add. From the hall, from the weekday, you add Kodesh to it. How do we know that concept? Well, we discussed it yesterday regarding Yovel. That there was a Havamina to think that the Yovel begins on Rosh Hashanah, according to one rabbi. And we wanted to extend it all the way past Rosh Hashanah of the next year, because of the concept of Mosif Mehol ala Kodesh. So the Gemara says, in that case, actually we have Pesukim clearly to tell us that Yovel ends at the Rosh Hashanah the next year, but you do see the principle was addressed that it would be accepted to add from the hall to add Kiddushah. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the source of that concept? Minalan. The Tanya, we have a Braita. Beharish ubakatsir tishbot. The full Pasuk says, Sheshet yamim ta'avod ubayom ha-shevi'i tishbot. Beharish ubakatsir tishbot. The Pasuk says that you have to keep 6 days your work, 7 days Shabbat, and you have to refrain from plowing and reaping. Now, we know that although the Pasuk is talking about Shabbat, this last part of the Pasuk cannot be referring to Shabbat. Because we know already you're not allowed to do any melacha. Lo ta'aseh kol melacha. Why would the Torah come explicitly and say, Beharish u'bakatsir tishbot? So therefore, must be out of its context. It's not talking about Shabbat. Shabbat, we know every melech has asur. There's no reason for the Torah to have to come along and explicitly give me examples of Beharish or Bakasir. So must be talking about Shemitah. Because we know in Shemitah, to plow and to reap is asur. But it also can't be referring to that because we know that the Torah clearly says by Shemitah that you're not allowed to plow and you're not allowed to reap. So that's also explicit. So therefore, we're stuck. What is the Pasukim Beharishu Bakatsir Tishbot? What is it coming to? Tell me Shabbat? No. Tell me Shemitah? No. So it's Rabbi Akiva Omer. Eno tzarich lomar harish v'katsir shel shevi'it. Does not have to come and tell me that's talking about the harish and the katsir of the seventh year. Why? Shenekeva ne'emar. Because we have an explicit Pasuk. Sadecha lo tezra' v'chermecha lo tezmor. Ela harish shel erev shevi'it הנכנס לשביעית, וקציר של שביעית, היוצא למוצאי שביעית. So he must be talking about the ערב שביעית and the מוצאי שביעית. Which means, it's coming to tell me that what? I cannot plow, even in ערב שביעית, even in the year before the Shemitah. Why? A plowing that's going to benefit in the seventh year. Which means already the Yisurim begin before the time. Which is if the plowing of the sixth year is going to be beneficial in the seventh, right? So that's going to be Asur. Or for that matter, the reaping. Which means I'm not allowed to reap in the eighth year a wheat that grew already one third of its growth in the seventh year. So what do you see from over here? Mosif mechalel hakodesh. That even though the Shemitah year itself is, let's say, from Tishri to Tishri, but there's laws that have start before beharish or bekatzir. Harish before, katzir after. That's fine. You should have to be akiva. Let's read Rashi. En sarich lomar harish vekatzir shel shviot. Ve'al korhach afagav derecha nekla b'shabbat ka'e. Even though the beginning of this pasuk is referring to Shabbat. The end of the pasuk is talking about Shemitah. The Shabbat harish v'katzir udu asur. She'ar melacha misharu. It was talking about Shabbat. Why only harish v'katzir is asur? Every melacha is asur. Harish v'erev shvi'it shelo yachros sadeh ilan. Person should not plow his field, right, of sadeh ilan, let's say the trees, the fruit. Erev shvi'it. Harish yu'il shvi'it. A plowing that will benefit for the seventh year. V'katzir shvi'it. Kegon tevuah shviya shlish b'shviyit. But if it already grew a third of its growth in the seventh year, atanu egba menhag shviyit b'shminit. You have to treat it kadosh even in the eighth year. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Comes Gemara and continues. Rabbi Ishmael Omer. Rabbi Ishmael says, Ma harish leshut af katzir leshut. Now. He comes along and says, no, really the pasuk is talking about Shabbat. And it's coming to tell me like this. What type of harisha and what type of ketzira is asur? Well, it must be referring to harisha of reshut. Voluntary harisha and voluntary ketzira. Why? Yatza ketzira omer shum mitzvah. Because it's like this. We never found in the Torah any harisha, any type of plowing, that's mandatory mitzvah plowing. That doesn't exist. There's no mitzvah in the Torah to ever do a mitzvah that necessitates mandatory plowing. So for sure when the Torah says that on Shabbat it's asur to plow, it's for sure talking about voluntary plowing. So just like harisha is voluntary, non-mitzvah, so to ketzira must be talking about voluntary ketzira. And that's what the pasuk is saying. What type of harish and katsir is asur on Shabbat? Voluntary. But if you can find mitzvah, plowing or mitzvah, reaping, it'll be mutar on Shabbat. But do we ever have a case of mitzvah reaping? Yes. Ketzira omer. Torah says on the second day of Pesach, you have to go and cut the new wheat to bring the mitzvah of the omer. And the halakha says, even if you found it cut, matzah katsur, kotzer. Doesn't matter. Let's say guy, the queen went into the field, and you say, somebody cut the wheat already. Doesn't matter. You got to cut again. It says, uksartin. So the hadith, let's say this happened on Leil Shabbat, Friday night. Happened on Shabbat. What's the deen? You cut. Wow. What do you mean? If I said, b'harish or b'katzir? Yeah, what type of katzir? Katzir shel reshut. But this is katzir shel mitzvah. And therefore, you cut on Shabbat. That's the hadith of going to Rabbi Ishmael. Now, how do you know talking about katzir mitzvah? Because harish definitely is reshut. So all the Torah is telling you, what type of harisha you have to forbid yourself from? Harisha shel reshut, and ketzira shel reshut. Yatza ketzir shel mitzvah, that is duhe Shabbat. Look at Rashi. Rabbi Ishmael Omer, ma harish reshut, velo diber ha-ketuf ela anyan Shabbat. Really the pasuk is talking about Shabbat. כדכתיב בה, וביום השביעי תשבות, בחריש ובקציר תשבות. בא ללמד, חס כמי תתיצ'ו, מה חריש? אין לך חריש של מצווה. You'll never find a harish that's mandatory. Okay, go. Ve'afilu lezroa lezorech omer u'shteh alechem. Which means, let's say you have the mitzvah u'shteh alechem. You have to bring the two loaves of bread on Shavuot. There's no mitzvah to plant the wheat for those loaves. Mm-hmm. Let's say the kohen went to the field and you found already planted.
Fine.
It's okay. Share im matzah harush enu horesh. There's no mitzvah to plow the ground to plant for the shtei lechem, or to plow the ground to plant for the omer. Ve'ani osro decha b'shabbat. And that voluntary plowing becomes asur. Af ketzir she'ani osel decha b'shir reshut ani osel decha. So to the reaping is only going to be asur if it is voluntary reaping. Oh, Rashi yatza ketzir ha'omer shu mitzvah. She'afilu matza katsur mitzvah leksor. Because why the ketzirah? Even if you found wheat that was cut, there's a mitzvah to cut. V'yesh lecha lelmod mikan shedochet ha-shabbat. So that's according to Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel does not have a source yet for Mosifim Mechalel HaKodesh. Rabbi Akiva also must be Mohan Lakodesh is from Baharishu Bakazi because he turns it into Shemitalo. And he says that you cannot be talking about Shemitah per se because we know Harisha considers that Surah Erev explicitly. And I must be talking about Erev and Motza'eh. So that's Tosefet Kodesh, adding it to the Chol. According to Mishmael, no, there's not Tosefet subject over here. This is a law in El Chol Shabbat. And teach me why the Ketzirat HaOmer is indeed Mo'ed Shabbat because it is indeed a Mitzvah. So comes the Gemara and says, V'Rabbi Yishmael, Mosifim Mo'ol LaKodesh Minale, Rasanz B'Yishmael, no, the Katz Mosifim Mo'ol LaKodesh. Nafkale Medetanya, notice from the following Braita. V'Anitem Et Nafshotechem B'Tesh'a. This is the Pasuk by Kippur. And the Pasuk says, V'Anitem, you will afflict yourself on the 9th. Now we know, what do you mean the 9th? We know Kippur is not until the 10th. Yaakod B'Tesh'a. What, do you think you have to fast on the 9th? Tamud Lomar Ba'ayrev. Ba'ayrev is at night. So night already is the 10th. So make up your mind. You're supposed to fast on the 9th, or you're supposed to fast Ba'ayrev, the following night. Well, Iba'ayrev, well, if you're going to tell me Ba'ayrev, that's when the fast starts. Yaakol Mishitachshach. So you tell, oh, when it gets dark, well, Tamud Lomar B'tesh'ah. But it says B'tesh'ah, which is the day. So therefore we have contradictions. It says, V'initem et nefshotechem B'tesh'ah La'ayrev. If it's the Shah, it's not the Ayrif. If it's the Ayrif, it's not the Shah. So then, how do you reconcile these two words in the Pasuk? Haketzad, Mathil u'mit'anem bi'od yom. So you just start the fast on the 9th. Really, the fasting is done by Ayrif. But when do you start this Ayrif fast? With the Shah. So what do you see? Mikri Lamed, Shemosifim Mohol LaKodesh. The fast of Kippur doesn't start the Mamash at the when it gets dark. And you have to start it all before because you have to be Mosif. Now, in the Ela Bechnisato. Okay, that only tells me that when you're entering Kippur, you have to add going in. B'siyato minai. How do you know going out, you also have to be Mosif? Tamud Omar, Me'erev Ad Erev. It says you fast from night to night. So the sheet says when it says the second Erev, it's Ve'ad Bechlal, including the Erev. Which means not up until the Erev, it's up until the Erev and including the Erev. So you have to go beyond the Erev. So that's how you know Tosefet on the way out. Me'erev Ad Erev, Ve'ad Bechlal. Now therefore, you know, you go after. And the Ela Yom Kippurim. Okay, I teach me Kippur. Shabbatot Minayin. Yeah, you know Shabbat. You have to be Mosif Mohol LaKodesh. Tamud Omar Tishpetu. Because the Pasuk says, Me'erev Ad Erev Tishpetu Shabbatechem. So from the word Tishpetu, the Hakamim learned that's referring to Shabbat. That the same thing applies on Shabbat. Yamim Tovim Minayin. How do you know the Yamim Tovim also applies? Tamud Omar Shabbatechem. Your Shabbatot. What do you mean your Shabbatot? Meaning Shabbat is Yom Tov is also called Shabbat. So it's coming to teach you also you have a din of Mosifin. Haketzad, kol makom sheyesh bo shevut, Mosifin mechol lakodesh. Any time that there's a cessation of work, there's a shevut, so they come after add mechol lakodesh. Now what is this coming to tell me, this last line? So the Tosafot says, ve'atal rabot shevi'it. It's coming to include even Shemitah. Which means any time there's a cessation, like even in the Shemitah, so you have to accept starting on the 6th and go into the 8th as well. So therefore, basically, according to the Mishmael, he has a source of Mosifim from this Pesukim. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, he learns already Tosefet from Baharish Bakatsir. Right? He learns the Tosefet from Baharish Bakatsir to Shmot. So what does he do with this pasuk of v'ayitem et nafshotechem b'tesh'a? Says, what does he do with it? Mevayelelech tetani chaya bar rab medifti. Tetani chaya bar rab medifti v'ayitem et nafshotechem b'tesh'a. V'chi b'tesh'a mit'anim. What do you mean? You fast on the 9th? V'alo ba'asiri mit'anim. You fast on the 10th. Ela lo ma'alecha kol ha'ochev v'shoteh b'tesh'i ma'aleh alav ha'katuf ki'ilu mit'anet tesh'i ba'asiri. So from here we learn that whoever eats on the 9th, eats and drinks on the 9th of Tishri, so he gets credit according to the Pasuk as if he fasted the 9th and the 10th. How do we see that, Rashi? Kol ha'ochev v'shoteh. Da'achi kamar kera. V'initem b'tesh'ah. And you will afflict yourself on the 9th. Achilat tesh'ah ani korei inui. The eating of the 9th, the Torah refers to it as inui. Since the eating on the night is considered an affliction, call the mafish ba'achila v'shtiyat tefeh adif. The more you eat, the better, because the more affliction you're getting. If the fact that it says ba'erev, it's clear that the real inui doesn't start until the night. But when the Torah says must be that it's referring to a different type of inui. So really, the fast starts ba'erev, but it says I'm allowed to eat on tishah. And it must be the Torah is considering what that you're eating on tishah. It's considered inui, and the more you eat on the tishah, the more inui it's considered, and therefore they're going to get credit as if what? You fast on the 9th and 10th. So what, you get credit? What type of credit is fasting on the 9th? Is there a mitzvah to fast? Which means a person fasts on a Tuesday. It's a mitzvah to fast on a Tuesday. It seems the Torah is coming to tell you that you'll get credit if you fast on the 9th and the 10th. So the Tosfot adds one line here. You have to say that Pasuk is coming to tell you as if God commanded you fast on the 9th and you fulfilled that obligation. That's what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is listening to the tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we consider it as if God told you, I want you to fast on the 9th and the 10th. And the 10th we fast. The 9th we don't. The 9th we're allowed to eat. And it must be God told you, I want you to fast on the 9th as well. And your eating is going to be considered as if you fasted, and therefore you're going to get credit for fasting on both days with a tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Mefarshim over here is give different reasons why exactly there's a mitzvah to eat on the 9th and going into the 10th. So he says, V'etama davar, O kedesh yukal l'ta'anot yafeh, ve'lo yavol yidid dihayat inu yom kipurim. The simple explanation is the Me'idi saying that in order to fast on Yom Kippur without, you know, hurting yourself, the Torah wants you to eat the day before in order that you can go into the fast. So, in order that you'll be able to do the next day. So if you want to show that really Yom Kippur, you should really celebrate on Yom Kippur eating. Because it's a holiday, it's a beautiful Sivah, we're getting Kaparat Avonot, but why you have a technical? You can't eat because that's part of the Kapara. So therefore we celebrate the meal of Yom Kippur on Erev Kippur, so that we're happy that the day is in. V'ra'ui le'echol lo mamtakim kemo b'Rosh Hashanah, l'ashekzat ha-katuv u'nefros bo b'yom et'avad gufanut sh'niyek kemal achi kemo sh'am v'v'dash. Actually, that's the Dba says that. Okay.
Is there
shi'ur
on the whole Safar?
Am I
going to back a second?
Is there a shi'ur? In the Torah, there's no shi'ur. In the Torah, just there's no shi'ur. A couple of minutes, whatever it is.
Also?
Yeah. Well, Shemitah, they gave you the shi'ur. Shemitah, the Torah says a harisha that will benefit in the seventh. Now, if you go in the 6 years, 6 months before, okay. You know, the seventh year, that's not going to produce anything in the seventh, that harisha. It's going to be a harisha that benefits. That's by yes. By Shemitah, they give you the shi'ur. Okay. But by Shabbatot and Yom Kippur, in the Torah, it's small shiur, even whatever. Okay, we continue. Tell Rabbanan. Yovel hi. Now we go back to the subject of Yovel, the Jubilee year. Now let's review quickly. The Jubilee year is the 50th year of the cycle of counting the Shemitot. There are basically three major laws that kick in on the Jubilee year. Number one, the Jubilee is considered a Shemitah, which means the land is forbidden to work. Furthermore, land that was purchased or sold returns back to its original owners. Slaves go free. He has a 6 year sentence. If he wants to stay a little longer, so then it becomes an Eved Nirtzah. The master takes him to the doorpost and he pierces his ear and says, "Va'avado le'olam." He becomes a slave forever. There is no slave forever. He says, "Le'olamo shel yovel." You become a slave until the yovel, and then all the slaves go free. And that is signaled by the blowing of the shofar that is done on Yom Kippur of the yovel year. So those are basically the laws. You have the Shemitah, which is the issur of working the field. You have the law of returning the properties, freeing of the slaves, and the blowing of the shofar. So now the Gemara's Doresh, Yovel Hi. And the Pasuk says, This is Yovel. Afalpi shelo shamtu. Now, even though the people were not shomet, because they did not fulfill the Shemitah, afalpi shelo takru. Even though they did not blow shofar, which you don't think, if the people were delinquent, let's say, and they didn't fulfill the laws, that's not Yovel. No, Yovel happens regardless. Ya'akul afalpi shelo shalhu. Even if, let's say, nobody sent the slaves free, Tamud Lomar, he. The fact that it says Yovel, he, that it's learning it's only Yovel if something was done. And what has to be done, at least to activate Yovel? Shiluah Havadim. But the other laws, even if they're not kept, do not impair the activation of Yovel. How do you know that? Why did you pick Shiluah Havadim as the... as the key item to activate Yovel? So we read Rashi. This is the words, by the way, of Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi. Yovel hi, Yovel avbi shelo shamtu. Yovel hi tiyeh lachem. Pasuk says, this will be Yovel. Now, le'el mi neketi, right above those words it says, ve'avarta shofar. You will sound the shofar. Ve'kiddashtem et shnat 50 shana, and you'll sanctify the 50th. Ye'ukratem deror, right, and you'll call... freedom in the land. Badar ketiv yovel hi tiyeh lachem. This is going to be yovel. Ukla yitirai. It's extra because we know already we're talking about yovel. The drasha. It's coming to Doresh. Ve'achi tidreshena. Yovel hi lachem mikol makom. It's yovel regardless. Which is even if you did not do the items we just mentioned above, it's still yovel. Ve'afidu no na'asu bo devarim halalu. Ha'avarat shofar. Ve'lashuv el ahuza. Dainu shemitat karkaot. Which means you didn't fulfill the law of karkaot. That what? That were purchased, go back to the original owner. Shekanu zemize. Tichtiva batar haikera. Ve'shaftem ish el ahuzato. Which is right after the pasuk of yovel. It says, ve'shaftem ish el ahuzato. That properties go back. So this shita is coming to tell you if... what was learned before the words Yovel and after the words of Yovel. If both those laws were not fulfilled, Yovel, it's still considered Yovel. Afapichen shema Yovel alav. Liyot asur b'zi'ah b'tzira v'ketzira. Ketetiv lo tezau. Which means it's still going to be considered Yovel that what? You're going to have to work the ground. You might think, maybe Yovel's not activated. Hey, listen, they didn't blow the shofar. They're not dealing with the giving back the fields, so it's not Yovel. Once it's not Yovel, maybe I can work the ground also. No. Yovel hi. It's Yovel. You can't plant the ground, you can't work the ground. Even though they didn't blow shofar, that's written before the words of Yovel, avarta shofar, and they didn't fulfill what's written after the words Yovel, returning karkaot, doesn't matter. Yoveli, in any event, the Gemara will doresh exactly how this dinasha works, but that's the mechanic. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yose Omer, Yoveli, afalpi shelo shamtu, afalpi shelo shalhu, yachol afalpi shelo tak'u, tamud omar hi. So he learns also that really Yovel doesn't have to be activated by all the items. So long as you have Tikiat Shofar, even though you're not fulfilling the law of Shiluah Abadim, and even though you're not fulfilling the law of returning lands, it's still considered Yovel. So the Machlok and the Biyuda and the Biyose is what is the key activator of the Yovel. According to the Biyuda, the key activator is what? Shiluah Abadim. According to the Biyose, the key activator is what? The blowing of the shofar. And both are learning from the same pasuk, Yovel hi. So the Gemara says, how? V'chi me'achar, shemikra echad marbeh, u'mikra echad mem'it. Which means, one pasuk is coming to be marbeh, telling you have to do these things. And then you got the Yovel hi to come and tell you, nah, even if you didn't do these things. Mepenema ani omer Yovel, hi afat pi shelo shalchu, ve'en Yovel ela imken tak'u. Which is, who told you to say that when it says Yovel hi, it's telling you it's Yovel even though you didn't do these items, so long as you did Tiki'ah. Who told you? Maybe you have to do Shiluah Havadim. How does the rabbi, let's say, the Biyose know that it's the Tiki'ah Shofar that is the key to Yovel? The Pasuk says you got to do everything. The Pasuk says you got to blow the Shofar, you have to send the slaves out, you got to return the fields. So then the Pasuk comes and says, oh, you know, it says Yovel hi. Even though you didn't do these items, so long as you did Tikiat Shofar, who told you? Maybe it's coming to Talmud and Shovel only if you did the other things. Who? How do you know that the Yovel is only coming like a bit to Gad Shofar? Right? So comes the Gemara and says, "Lefi she'efshal le'olam b'lo shluach avadim, v'efshal le'olam b'lo tikiat shofar." He says because it's possible that you can have a scenario where nobody's going to have any slaves, and nobody's going to send slaves out in the Yovel because nobody had an Eved Ivri. It's not always that everybody has an Eved Ivri. So therefore, they're not going to make Yovel dependent on something that might not happen. So therefore, the Yovel must be dependent on something that's an automatic. The Gemara assumes it's an automatic that they're going to have a shofar. How hard is it to have a shofar? You'll get a shofar, you blow a shofar. It's not an impossibility. It's not something that you say, oh, listen, nobody in class said they weren't able to get a shofar. What do you mean they were able to get a shofar? It's an easy thing. Shiluach avadim, that's possible you can have a year that nobody had slaves. So I'm not going to make your veil dependent on an item that might not manifest. However, when it comes to get a shofar, they admit he's going to have a shofar. So therefore, I'll make your veil dependent on something that's an automatic, that's something that's that is a definite. That she says, she'efshal le'olam b'lo shluach avadim, pe'amim she'en eved evri b'Yisrael. She'iton shiluach. Right, sometimes it's not going to be an eved. Ve'efshal shelo yeh shofar matzui ba'olam. But it's impossible to say it's not going to be a shofar. Lefi kach yesh tanu lomar, kishetala katuv lo tala ele b'dvar matzui le'olam. When the Torah is telling you, yoveli, it's going to be on the item that's matzui. That's prevalent. What does it mean, Shemitah?
Nobody owns field.
It does. Guy doesn't have a field.
Yeah, no one's
have a
field.
Everything was. Nobody sold, or things that were sold were not subject to the law because it was sold in a certain way that the veil doesn't kick in, which is it's not automatic. So Kamsi Gemaran says like this. Another reason why they based it on shofar. Zu mesura lebetin. Vezu era mesura lebetin. Which means we're not going to make your veil hinge on something that's out of our control. Who's our? Betin. Betin knows we blow the shofar. So therefore we can control the shofar. So therefore we're going to make your veil dependent on what? On the shofar. Now, sending slaves out, who's that dependent on? The people. Yeah, the people are going to do it, the people are not going to do it. So now they have a chance not to do it. So I'm not going to hinge my Yovel laws on people that can not follow the law. So I know for sure, listen, Betin, we're going to blow the shofar. We're not going to be delinquent. So therefore they're going to tole Yovel in where the Betin has the control. Look at Rashi. Bevar Acher. Tekiat shofar misura lebetin. Letzavot leshulcham letkoa. Right, they blow the shofar to signal to send the slaves. The shiluach avadim mesura liyachidim. That's given over to individuals. The im yimain yivatel yovel. Well, you tell me now, if the individual is not going to send the slave, they're not going to have yovel. Hilkachlo tala katuv bo. So, basically, we have two reasons. The first reason is what? That what? It's iyefshal le'olam b'lo shofar. The world definitely have a shofar, but it's possible it's not going to have shiluach avadim. Second reason is this is Betin's responsibility, not yachidim. So the Gemara says, my davar acher. What do you need a davar acher? What do you need a second reason for? Dechi tema iyefshad elik achad besof haolam delo meshalayach. Maybe you're going to argue, listen, nobody's sending slaves out? How do you know? There's got to be somebody in besof haolam, somebody somewhere is sending slaves. That's a hard thing to say. What about a case where nobody's going to send slaves? So somebody's going to have a slave. So even if you want to argue, okay, maybe there's some guy in a remote place that has a slave. Zoom is surah lebetin, v'zoom is surah lebetin. So we have to give the second reason. The main reason is what? That betin controls the shofar, but we're not going to make your veil dependent on individuals that can be delinquent and not follow the law. So the second reason is just in case you want to argue and say, oh, what do you mean? Nobody has slaves that year? What are you talking about? Possible somebody will have slaves. So therefore, we give the second reason, which is the main reason, that what? Zoom is surah lebetin, v'zoom is surah lebetin. Bishtama lebi yoseh. According to Rabbi Yosef, kedeka amar ta'ameh. Right, Rabbi Yosef, we just explained his logic. Ela Rabbi Yehuda, my ta'ama. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he says the main item for your veil is indeed what? Shiluach avadim. You don't need to tekiat shofar, returning of the lands. What activates your veil is the shiluach avadim, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara wants to know, what's his drasha? I mean, what's his source? Amar Kira. Pasuk says, Ukratem deror ba'aris. Right? You will call freedom in the land. That's the freedom of the slaves. The kasabar, and he holds, Mikra nidrash lefanav velo lefne panav. Now we have a derashana. When you make a derasha, for example, in this case, Yovel he. So he holds that the derasha of Yovel he is nidrash lefanav. You doresh the word Yovel he on what's written right before it, but not what's written lefne panav. In the pasuk before it, which means in the pesukim of Yovel, the pasuk says like this: "Vekedashtem et shenat ha-hamishim shana." You'll sanctify the 50th. Ye'ukratem deror ba'ares. You call freedom in the land. Lechol yosheveha. Then it says what? Yovel he. Oh, so right before the word Yovel, it talks about what? The freedom of the slaves. So therefore, we say mikra nidrash lefanav, and right lefanav it says. It means your veil is dependent on what? What was written right before it. Your veil he, on what? On Ukratem Deror. But it's not Nidrash Shilifne Panav. Because right before Ukratem Deror, it says Va'avartem Shofar. So therefore, we don't know that your veil is dependent on Shofar. And for that matter, after the word Yovel, it talks about returning the fields back. But Mikra Enu Nidrash Shilacharav. So then we have to say it's two principles working over here. Mikra enu nidrash shelifne panav. Therefore you knocked out shofar. Your bell's not dependent on shofar. And it's not nidrash la'acharav. What's acharav? No, acharav is sending the returning the fields. Veshaftem ish elachuzato. Yeah, get the skeleton of the pesukim. Pasuk says shofar, shiluach avadim, yoveli. And then it says, "V'sheftem ish la'uzato." So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Yovel he goes right on what's before it. It's only Yovel because of Shofar. What about the Shilfne Panav? Shilfne Panav talks about Shiluach Avadim. Take two. Right. Right before it is Ukratem Deror, freedom of slaves.
That's the Fanav.
So you ready? That's the Fanav. So Yovel is dependent on what? Shiluach Avadim. Shilfne Panav is Shofar. Shofar not necessary. Le'acharav is V'shaftem ish el la'uzato. We don't go la'acharav either. And that's what Tosfot says. If you look at Tosfot says, Mikra nidrash defanav lo lefne panav u'la'acharav. Now watch. Pirush mi'uta dehi, the mi'uta of the word he, yovel he, mukminen akriyat diror. You place it on kriyat diror, shi lefanav, velo atiki'a delifne panav, which is said v'avarta shofar v'chol atzechem. You didn't see the pasuk today. It's a pasuk v'avartem shofar v'chol atzechem. Velo ahashmata delacharav, and it's not going on ashmata. That's after dechtiv batre v'shaftem ish elachuzato v'ish el mishmarto tashuvu. So let's read that inside again in the Gemara. Kasabar. Midrash, Nidrash, Lefanav, and all Lefne Panav. You see, in Tosfot, that's actually an extra word there. Ula Harav. So that helps you know how come you don't have to be Doresh, Vishavtem, Ishla, Chazadok. That's really after the Yom. Very important. Now, Dechule Alma. According to everybody, Deror, Lashon Herut. Okay, everybody agree with this. Ukratem Deror. That's talking about the freedom of the slaves. So that Gemara has a question. Me'em Mashma. How do you know the word deror is a word used for freedom? So Gemara says, Netanya, en deror ela lashon herut. Says deror is a word for freedom. Why? Amar Yehuda, ma lashon deror. What does the word deror mean? Kim dayar be daira umevil sehora bechol medina. So kim dayar be daira, like a person that's free to live where he wants to live. He can go wherever he wants. He can travel, and what he carries his wares with him, his merchandise with him to every city, and he sells it. So therefore, the word deror, like as a resident, it's a resident that's free to move and live wherever he wants. As Jesus came, dayer be dayra, mishu b'rishuto lagur bechol malon shirtze. He can live in any inn that he wants. So they say deror. Tirur is like a guy that's a resident that can go wherever he wants, and he sells us like a salesman, right? He can live wherever he wants. So therefore, the same thing, Tirur. A dwelling is where he wants to live, but it's freedom. That's the point. Which is the slave, he's not free to go wherever he wants. He's in the master's house. Now give him Tirur. Let him be a resident. I mean, let him go wherever he wants to live. So that's why the word Tirur means freedom. Comes again and says, Amar Faya Baraba Amar Virhanam. Zud Verbi Uda Verbi Yosef. Okay, now we have the machlok, the biyudan, the biyosei. What activates yovel? Aval hakamim omrim sheloshtan me'akebot. Hakamim say you need all three items to be done in order to activate yovel. You need shiluah habadim, you need tekiat shofar, you need ashmatat karkaot. And if you're missing one of the three, it's not yovel. What do you mean it's not yovel? You could work the land at you. The law of working the land is not activated unless you have these three other items. All this come out of that we said, activated, not activated, for what? For what purpose? It's for working the land. It's asur to work the land in the yovel. So we're saying, what activates that isur? So one rabbi said, what activates it is shofar. Another rabbi, no, activates it is shiluah havadim. According to Hakamim, no. You need all three to be present in order to activate the isur of working the land. Kasabre, what do the rabbis must hold? Mikra nidrash lefanav velifne panav ulaharav. We have to say that when you have the yoveli, it goes on what's said right before it, shiluah habadim. What's before that? Tikiyat shofar. And what's after that? Veshavtem ish lachozato, the returning of
fields.
So therefore the yovel, it's only yovel if everything is done. What's before it, what's before that, and what's after that. Okay? Vaketiv. But doesn't it say in the pasuk, yovel? Which means when it's mashma, when the fact that it says yovel, it's mashma, it's yovel regardless. Which means it's coming to include. So not only in these cases where you add these things, yovel. It's extra to tell me it's chavra. It's always yovel. As she says, liravot b'mashma. The word yovel is mashma, not coming to exclude. It's mashma that's coming to include. That it's yovel mikol makom. Tafilu b'chutz la'aretz. That's the understanding. Yovel applies even outside Eretz Yisrael. That word yovel, the he comes along and tells me what? It's excluding only if you have these three items. But the fact that it says yovel, it's coming to tell me yovel mikol makom. What's the inclusion? Even outside of Israel. What do you mean? Vaketi ba'aretz. What do you mean? It says clearly that yovel is in the land. How can you tell me it's b'chutz la'aretz? Ha'hu b'zman she'noheg diror ba'aretz, noheg b'chutz la'aretz. B'zman she'noheg ba'aretz, noheg b'chutz la'aretz. Which means, yovel always applies in Eretz Israel. The question is, does yovel apply b'chutz la'aretz? So it says, when the laws of diror, when the laws of freeing slaves apply in Eretz Israel, then the laws of Shemitah, of Yovel, are going to apply in Chutz La'aretz. But once the laws of freeing slaves is not applying in Eretz Yisrael, which you don't have a Beit Din, so then the law is not going to apply in Chutz La'aretz. But in Eretz Yisrael, it always applies. So Chutz La'aretz, sometimes you have inclusionary and sometimes you have exclusionary. What is it included? When everything's being done in Eretz Yisrael, concluding Shiluah Avadim, Kratem Deror Ba'aretz, when there's deror ba'aretz, then already yovel b'chutz la'aretz. When there's no deror ba'aretz, then already we come along and say there's no yovel in chutz la'aretz. But in Eretz Yisrael, there's always a yovel. Now, really not. Because according to the Hachamim, once you don't have all three items, yeah. So then already it's not going to be yovel as well in Eretz Yisrael. But the hadush is that the chutz la'aretz is dependent on the Eretz Yisrael. Right, only for that item. When there's no slaves in Eretz Yisrael, so then already there's no
land back in chutz la'aretz.
Correct. Then there's no land in chutz la'aretz. It means for the working of the fields and things like that. Okay.
So this is contradicting the previous because it's ba'aretz.
We have two pesukim. We have one pesuk that says yovel. Yovel says you're including. What are you including? That yovel applies to chutz la'aretz. We have another pesuk that says ba'aretz. That yovel is only in Eretz Yisrael. So make up your mind. Is yovel b'chutz la'aretz only in Eretz Yisrael? These are contradictory words. So the Gemara is telling you that when is yovel b'chutz la'aretz? When does it apply b'chutz la'aretz? Davka, when there's ukratem deror ba'aretz, as long as there's freeing of slaves in Eretz Yisrael, when that law applies, then you have to follow yovel b'chutz la'aretz. But once there's no ukratem deror ba'aretz, then there's no yovel b'chutz la'aretz as well. You need three things, but just tell you that the chutz la'aretz is dependent on Eretz Yisrael.
What does the Rabbanan do with the meot of he?
No, it's not. You need all three. You need all three. It's mikran nidrash nefanav nefanav ulaharav. It's coming to tell me that it's only going to be yovel if you have these three items, and if you don't have these three items, it's not yovel. That's exclusionary. It's not inclusionary. He's saying davka yovel in these cases over there, but anything else not yovel. It's limiting the yovel. It's limiting yovel. He davka in this case. Masha'enker, if you don't have the three situations, in yovel. Continues. Now we said in the Mishnah that Aleph Tishri is also a Rosh Hashanah for planting trees. Nafka mina for the law of Orla. The first 3 years of a tree is Asur, and in the fourth year it's also Asur. It's called Net Arebai. So how do you count years for Orla? The cutoff is Aleph Tishri. So the Gemara says, "Mina alan." How do you know it's Tishri? Dichtiv shalosh shanim arelin, uchtiv ubashana arbiyit, v'yaliv shana shana mitishri. We have a gezerah shava shana shana from Tishri. Dichtiv mereshit hashana by Tishri. What does it say? Mereshit hashana. We know that that was talking about Tishri. So then, when it says shana by orla, so shana shana, it's Tishri. V'ligmar shana shana minisan. What do you make against that Shabbat Nisan? Dichtiv, Rishon hu lachem ne'oche Hashana. So maybe the cutoff for Orla is Nisan. Danin shana shen ima chodashim, shana shen ima chodashim. Ven danin shana shen ima chodashim, shana shen ima chodashim. When you make the Gezerat Shavah, you want to keep it similar. So therefore, I want it to be Doresh shana shana without the mention of months. And then by Orla, it doesn't say anything about months, it just says shanim. And by Rosh Hashanah, it says Mereshit Hashana. That's straight shana shana. But I'm not going to learn from a shana that has months. That's Rishon Ulachim, the Choche Hashana. It's Choche Hashana. I'm not going to learn that shana too. Orla does not talk about months. Therefore, it's more compatible to learn Shana Shana to Rosh Hashanah, which means Aleph Tishri, than to learn it to Nisan. So that's the Maaseh. The Aleph Tishri is the cutoff for the counting of the years of Orla and Neta Rebahi. Baruch Amen. Amen. Amen.